Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Whatever time you're listening to the program, just welcome to Breaking the Silence from the most beautiful, awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. And you can see the Texas Medical Center right behind me. And I am so excited to welcome you to probably, I think, it's going to be one of our best programs we have had in a very long time, if not the best, because of the organization that I am fixing to introduce you to and the two wonderful ladies that help with this organization and lead it. And I am so excited about today's program. And I actually have used and read every one of their resources. And I travel the country and I promote them every time I speak. And it's an honor to welcome today to our program, Marty Bledsoe Post, which is the executive director. And you want to listen to this title of the On Our Sleeves. Write that down if you're listening, On Our Sleeves Movement for Children's Mental Health. And in her role of On Our Sleeves Movement, she leads the strategy and the operations with the goal of ensuring that every community in America has access to free, not just information that you can buy, free information, evidence-informed mental health resources to break stigmas and educate families and advocates. And she collaborates with a wonderful team to advance programming, fundraising, and the national visibility of that organization. And she's also a published author and a sought-after national speaker to parents in the workforce. Along with her, we have the clinical director of On Our Sleeves, Dr. Ariana Hoet, and they are both from Columbus, Ohio, is where they reside. And Dr. Hoet, listen to this. I could read their CVs and their resumes, but it would take all day. Dr. Hoet works in pediatric primary care, where she serves primarily Latino and Somalia immigrant children. And she's also a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics in the Department of Pediatric Psychology and Neuropsychology at Nationwide Children's Hospital and the Ohio State University. And ladies, I wanted to let you know, it is an honor to welcome you to the program today. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Thank you for being on with us today. I appreciate it so much. Welcome.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's an honor, and I'm so pumped and so excited. First of all, I want to let you know that I love Big Lots, and Big Lots is just right down the road. And I got a receipt from Big Lots one day when I was shopping in there for some stuff and looked at the bottom of the receipt, and it referred me to a website, and it was talking about child mental health, anxiety and stress, and a couple other things on there. And I immediately got home. Because that's what I love to do, and I've that's my cup of tea. And I got on, started looking at it, and I was overwhelmed. Tell me about On Our Sleeves, and I'll let you both have an opportunity to. But what's it mean to you? What's On Our Sleeves? What's it all about for the people that are listening today?
I have to say, I love your story that you found out about us through our partnership with Big Lots. They are a major part of our transformation from an idea to a national movement to give children a voice in mental health. And Big Lots, which is headquartered here in Columbus, Ohio, started us off several years ago with a $50 million transformational gift to help us put together the largest behavioral health pavilion on a pediatric medical campus in the whole country. And the building itself is inspiring and beautiful, and it's an amazing resource for our families to have here. The interesting thing about On Our Sleeves is most of our work happens outside of that building, because as you said, our mission is to get resources into the hands of every family and advocate in the country who needs a way to support a child in their mental health and development. So we work more closely. I like to say, if you were going to tour On Our Sleeves, you'd have to go to a school and a sports field and a locker room and a family dinner table, because that's where our work is taking shape out there, helping families and caregivers understand how to support kids in mental health and well-being.
Hey, Dr. Holt, what's your opinion of this Big Lots Behavioral Health Pavilion? I have pictures of it here and everything that they do. This is phenomenal, right?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And really what I love about it is how much it was focused on breaking the stigma, right? So we have this big building in the middle of downtown Columbus. It says Big Lots Behavioral Health on it. It looks just like the rest of the hospital, colorful, welcoming. And so it's really showing us that mental health matters just as much as the physical health of children, and we're going to treat them the same. And so I just love going to that building and seeing how it's a big part of the community here in Columbus.
You know, you both have mentioned that one word, to break the stigma. What is the stigma that we're trying to overcome that has happened? And Marty and I were talking just briefly before you came on, Doctor, and that the generations have changed over the last two or three generations, and we're in a completely different world now than what we were 5 years ago. What's the stigma for either one of you that we're trying to get over? What hurdle do we need to clear to make mental health an issue that can be dealt with correctly?
Gosh, I mean, it's years and years of history of how we've treated and talked about mental health, right? How we thought about it as abnormal or something that only certain groups of people go through, versus thinking of, just like everyone needs to take care of their physical health and exercise and sleep and eat well, we all need to take care of our mental health. And so I think working with children, one thing I see often is almost a shame from parents, thinking that if their kid is having a hard time, it's that they did something wrong, versus seeing it as just, it's human. We're growing up, kids are growing up, and it's hard. And so I always say, if you're a parent, you will benefit from talking to a behavioral health person, a psychologist, a social worker, because it's hard, and there's nothing that you did wrong.
Right. Marty, you have a thought?
I also think that in addition to the shame, it was always seen as an adult problem. And maybe it started in teens and adolescents because of, you know, hormones and puberty and all the social pressure that they come under in those years. But in reality, 50% of mental illness begins to present before the age of 14. And so we know that the child audience, really in a pretty big, broad conversation about mental health over the years and generations of getting more common to be discussed, the children's voice was missing. Over and over, it was something that sort of felt like it was a teen and adult thing, not a child issue or concern. And I can vividly remember, as somebody who has had on and off mental health support my entire life, from therapists to medicines to great community support, the first time it ever occurred to me to try to take a child, my two children, to a family therapist, I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And then it hit me right away. And I thought, why would I deny them the kinds of supports and programs and resources that I've benefited from all this time? And it was surprising to me that even in my own mind, that stigma was there, that maybe they didn't need it, or maybe it meant something was wrong. And in reality, it is a way of making sure everything is right. And it has been, I think, more and more acceptable to start to suggest that around younger ages as this work continues.
You know, that line is so powerful. it's not to really point out what's wrong, but to make sure that everything is right. That's what it's all about, correct?
That's it right there. And you notice when you become a parent, they don't give you a book. You have no manual. So how are you going to know if everything is right? You know, with their physical health, it's so much easier. They have a fever, they fall and get hurt. You can clearly see when to intervene. Mm-hmm. With this, it's all different.
Yeah, doctor, in the medical field, and I'm in the hospital 5-6 days a week, hour after hour, and I talked to a lot of physicians about this and nurses. Where do you think we miss the target of mental health issues and we just want to treat the symptom instead of the root cause of what could be happening in that person and that illness?
Exactly what you said, right? It's so easy for us to focus on the symptom, and we want to help. That's why we went into this field. We want to treat that symptom and help the family feel like, okay, we helped you get better. But in reality, a kid lives within a system, a family system, a school system, their community. And so we have to look at the bigger picture to really be able to help. You know, we in hospital systems, we're constantly focusing on words like adherence or readmission, right? And we have to think about the system, the kid and their family and their community and their school, if we want to help in those areas.
How important is this new catchphrase that everybody's using? Probably the last year or two, it's really become popular. And I predicted a couple of years ago, wait, this is going to be on the headlines of every medical journal around the country shortly. Trauma-informed. How important is to be trauma-informed? Communities, schools, hospitals, doctors, parents. How important is, and what does that mean to either one of you and both of you?
I think it's so important. You know, we touched on stigma, and one thing we didn't touch on talking about stigma was the stigma with our minoritized communities, right? We know that mental health doesn't discriminate. And at the same time, the families that are immigrant families, Black families, they are experiencing a lot of stress from the systems that they live in. And a lot of that is trauma, right? We know that racism is a trauma. We know that neighborhood violence is a trauma. And so if we want to really help these communities, we have to understand how trauma shows up in their life, how trauma impacts learning at school or taking care of our chronic illness and our mental health. So I think it's very, very important, and I am glad to see it talked about more and more.
Yeah. Marty, your perspective, maybe from the parent's side, because I think you deal with a lot of parents training. How important is that trauma-informed side on that portion?
I think it's hugely important, especially as we start to better understand the definition of trauma as perhaps not just those really horrific events we hear about, but potentially patterns over time that lead children and families to disconnection. And that's a beginning, a place for parents to begin to understand that perhaps some of this is from their own childhood, you know, traumas and disconnections that they might need to be working on. And what I think is fascinating is to hear this discussion of trauma-informed approaches in the medical community and in the psychological community is critical. When I start to get really excited is when I hear those phrases making their way into parenting and community and school and business conversations, because suddenly we're accepting the fact that that every person brings their whole self to their job or their schoolroom or their sports team. And then we start to say, okay, then we all need to be on the same page or playing field about how are we defining those phrases and those terms. And I think there's a lot of energy as those phrases make their way out of just medical journals and into our popular dialogue. And we're excited to be a part of that and to make it as understandable and approachable as we possibly can in everything that we publish.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job. And even in the judicial arena, I'm noticing, because I've had a couple judges on the program the last couple of years that have mentioned that, you know, they have to know about trauma informed, because when a teenager is in front of them and they're there because they threw a desk at a teacher in a fit of rage that they experienced, and he explained the rest of the story. Was it because somebody whispered something in her ear that triggered her, and it wasn't her normal response, but because you have to understand the trauma that she had experienced in her life, that triggered it. And you don't put those children like that in juvenile detention. You sit down and you talk about them and say, how can we help you through this? And I think that's what I love about On Our Sleeves, is because it invites the entire community to be involved. Is that intentional with your products and your literature and your resources that you offer out?
Yes, we're constantly trying to balance the specialized resources that a teacher, a parent, a coach might need that's specific to their situation, with the generalized resources that any adult could use who's interacting with a child in any capacity. We want to upskill the grownups who surround our kids and make sure they know how to start conversations, how to watch for signs, but then even more importantly, and this is something Dr. Hoet has started to teach me about, how to finish the conversation or receive the information from the child.
Dr. Hoet, finish that thought. How do you do that? That's huge. Yeah.
It is huge, because kids want to talk. Kids yes. want us to listen. They want to be cared for. And so it's great that we're talking about starting the conversation, but then once a kid shares something, as the adults in their lives, we have to be really careful with how we react, because we want to make it a rewarding experience so that they'll do it again tomorrow, right? If they tell us something that's upsetting to us, we kind of have to keep that emotion to ourselves, because if we overreact and we get angry, that child is never going to share something again, right? And so that's something I work a lot with parents in therapy of, like, all right, like, put on your therapy face, right? Like, don't overreact and thank your kid for sharing. And that must have been really hard to go through. And then asking them, how can I help you? How can I be there for you? How can we get through this, versus immediately jumping to advice, which is grownups we want to do. But again, I want parents and adults, anyone in a child's life, to really think about, how is this going to help my child want to talk to me again?
Yeah. I tell you what, we're going to take our first break, but on the other side of this break, I really want to dig a little deeper in that, because I think it's so important to, once we make the connection, not just cut it off and then them feel like they're unwanted or unheard, because that could even cause more damage if there's been hurt in the past to begin with. So we're going to talk about that a little bit deeper on the other side of this break. Hang with us. We'll be right back after this commercial message. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. And When Dark Clouds Come is going to be coming out here in the next few weeks. We're finishing the editing of it now to be printed. And I'm excited about that because I actually leaned into the teenage and the 20-age book before I did the adult side of it, because I think that generation is screaming for extra help and resources. So I wanted to make sure that book got out first. And just welcome back to our program. We have two awesome guests with On Our Sleeves, Marty Bledsoe Post and Dr. Ariana Hoyt, and this awesome conversation. And Doctor, before we took a break, I literally go around the country and I do an hour and a half seminar training on looking into a person's eyes and asking, how are you? Mm-hmm. How important is it to get on the child's level and look and put this thing down instead of go, how was school today, son? And never pay attention. Mm-hmm. How important is it to get down and go, hey, guy, how you doing today? Mm-hmm. And then stop and pause and listen. How important is that to a child?
So important. So important, because we're putting the distraction away. I care. I'm listening. Right. And also on the other end, we want the child to not have a distraction. Because sometimes I hear parents say like, oh, they're not listening. They're not doing what I ask. Well, what was the kid doing? They were playing their video game. Okay, well, they were distracted, right? So we have so many distractions nowadays that putting distractions away and having just 10 minutes a day where we're, like you said, that eye contact, how are you? How was your day? I like to ask what was the best part of your day so that we're opening on that positive note. Yes, we want kids to feel like you are giving them the time and you're there and you're listening.
Marty, do you think we're given our children, and I'm being guilty of this, I have three boys, everything that we can? Or do you think that we've just tried to get by because that's the way we were raised, and we did the same thing, and it's just a never-ending circle?
Well, it's a powerful battle in each of us for our time and attention every day. It's our intergenerational, our own issues, traumas, questions, secrets, unconscious behaviors against what we know better about, what we've seen and read and think we understand and could do better. And it's difficult for parents because we are in a generation of pressure on parents that has never been seen at this level before. The intensive parenting style of many, many Western parents is born of real economic fear and uncertainty about their children doing better than they will, than they did. And that is not necessarily something you would think we'd still be worried about in this day and age, and yet we are. And so you can look at the busy schedules of families and you can trace those directly to the parents feeling like, I've got to give my kid every chance, every opportunity to be included, to be, you know, to be given skills and chances at everything from sports to the arts to, you know, all kinds of wonderful things that many families take advantage of. And it makes them busy, more distracted. There's a lot more to manage. And that pressure is very real. And it's very real across the spectrum, whether the families are in more mainstream communities or in minoritized communities, the pressures are very high. And so families are trying to make a giant, I think many times trying to make a giant pivot from how they were raised to how they want to raise their children. It's that whole, if you know better, do better. But like I said, a lot of the things that we're fighting against are unconscious patterns. And so I like to call us Generation P for pivot, because we are trying to turn the Titanic in a really small space.
But you know, sometimes to turn that big ship, it only takes a little bit on that rudder, correct? Just a little bit shift of a change that can make all the difference in the world.
That's true. That's true. And I think one of the things that we've tried to really do over the past year is put together a multifaceted alliance of partners to help us do that and make those changes in many places at the same time. So we've got an alliance of partners now. They include healthcare partners, so other children's hospitals who are licensing the On Our Sleeves content in their own markets. They include education partners who are helping us distribute our materials and even contributing to how those materials come together. We have influencers and champions out there in the media talking about this, breaking down the stigma of these conversations with us and for us. We, of course, have corporations and fundraising partners who are doing the important philanthropy that it takes to keep this engine running and keep all the resources free for everyone. And then we became parts of some important alliances last year as well. So we joined the Mental Health Coalition, which is led by Kenneth Cole. We're part of the MTV Viacom Coalition around children's mental health, because it's so important that all of us work together and convene on these topics and issues. So I think to your point about the tiny rudder shift, when we have multiple partners and organizations at the table, all of us making a small change or a small effort can really add up quickly together.
So I could actually walk into Baylor College of Medicine or Texas Children's Hospital and say, hey, we could join forces with this group. Would you be willing to do that? That's something that you would welcome.
Yes, it's a new program where we've got healthcare partners coming on board with us. We have three children's hospitals already on board, and we're excited to talk to more. It sounds like we might have one in Texas who wants to chat. But, you know, it's important because that does two things. One, it helps us get the messages and resources out more broadly. But then it allows your behavioral health experts in your own market to add to the incredible bank of knowledge and resources that we're all trying to, again, work together to maintain.
So we could actually have our own professionals, and I think, from my opinion, some of the best in the world, there at Texas Children's and Baylor College, they could actually not only get affiliated with you, but contribute with their own knowledge.
Yes, we welcome
that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Back, Doctor, to the discussion of looking in the child's eyes, is, since you deal with Latino and Samoa children a lot, is there a difference in the culture of the way middle-class white Americans deal with their children compared to like Latino and Somalia? And what would some of those differences be that's major that we need to understand?
My goodness, yes. There's so many differences and then also so many similarities, right? Of course, there are cultural differences in how different people raise their children, right? So in Latino families, for example, there's a lot of value to the family piece. So, yes. You know, a collectivist culture versus an individualistic culture. So we put our family's needs before our own. And so one thing I see a lot in therapy is that difference in what we call the acculturation gap, right? We've got parents that are trying to raise children with that Latino background, and then you've got kids growing up here in the US and surrounded by children from the US. And so they kind of clash, like, oh, my mom won't let me go to sleepovers. And then you've got the parent that's afraid because of, you know, being in a different country, not understanding the culture here. One of my favorite stories to tell is I had a mom that didn't understand why her kid wanted to go to a football game when she just went last week, right? I just took her. And so explaining, like, it's going to be every Friday for these 3 months. That's the football season. And how great is it that your daughter wants to be at school, you know, surrounded by other teachers and peers? It's a safe environment. So helping the mom understand. So I think while parents have the same worries, you know, making sure their child is happy and socializing in a healthy way and successful at school, the approaches are different based on our backgrounds that we bring with us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the resources that I printed off this morning that I actually hand out, and I want to kind of discuss this, is this. And so if you're listening to the program, you want to get your piece of paper and ink pen right now, because we're going to tell you how to get these resources and what website. But this thing here, Supporting Kids in the Classroom, is what I hand out to teachers around Texas all the time. In my briefcase, I have dozens of these in color. And this resource is for the teacher, correct? Tell me, Marty, what do you do with this and what do you want the teacher to do with this resource that is so very awesome, at least from my perspective, to be able to hand, what is this, 45, 50 pages to them to be able to use in their class? How do you want them to use this?
Oh, well, thank you for passing it out. We want as many teachers as possible to get their hands on that and use it in their classroom to do a couple of different things. One, to help kids understand that feelings are just as much a part of the day as learning and, you know, keeping their bodies healthy and moving. It's all connected. But also to give teachers language and ideas for activities, even communications that they can use to go directly to the child or home with the child, so that, again, all the grownups can come together as a community around these students and help them develop some of these skills. So our hope is that educators can grab a copy, take what they can use. Obviously, we're open to suggestions from the educator community about what else they need or any modifications they need. The feedback we get is that elementary schools especially are in need of curriculum like this that can set them on a path of discussing these things in the classroom with evidence-informed expert backing from all of our behavioral health clinicians who helped us put all this work together.
Okay, so Marty, you're telling me that this isn't just somebody that was sitting in the writer's room saying, okay, how do we deal with stress? Oh, blow up a balloon and let out the air. This is evidence-based, clinical trained people, doctors have put this together. That's why I love this stuff. And it's not, there's not one word, because I'm not the smartest man in the room most of the time. There's not one word in here that I couldn't understand. And I love that approach too. Doctor, is that intentional too?
Absolutely. We want to bring academia. We want to bring research to the community, right? Because not everyone is going to the psych conferences to hear the latest research data. And so how do parents, teachers, coaches know what works best? And so we are intentionally putting that evidence out there in the language that people can relate to and use it.
Yeah, Marty, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add that, because I'm so excited about it, we are trying to take that, what I like to think of as sort of our magic approach of the approachable language with the evidence-informed backing, and bring that into other spheres. So we are hard at work on a program for working parents that would roll out through employers. We're in pilot mode of that right now. It's all digital and parents can take this class at work as a wellness offering from their employer. We're working on a test of a program that would go to youth sports coaches. So if you think about those 10 or 12 little children athletes who are in your care for those couple of hours a week, some ideas and skills there would be really helpful to those volunteers and coaches as well. And then we're even branching out in later 2022 to think about how does the primary care physician, the pediatrician who has a 15-minute well check with a child and family, work in some of these resources and questions and ideas. And that is one of Dr. Howitt's new projects that I'm so excited about.
Yeah, this is awesome. And each one of those new ventures, new veins, lanes that you guys are going down is so needed. And, you know, isn't it great that you have the Harlem Globetrotters sponsoring this and promoting this material too, for a coach to be able to have a Harlem Globetrotter on their stuff and say, hey, kids, let's sit down for a couple minutes while you catch your breath and go through this. That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. I love that. Dr. Howitt, how important then is that 15-minute meeting with the pediatrician and a teenager or a child? How do you break through that crust of a doctor that's been doing this 30 years of saying, oh, no, wait, I don't have time for that. I'm just trying to get my clinical notes in Epic or in, you know what I'm saying? How do you break that through to them, the importance of this?
Primary care clinicians have, I think, one of the hardest jobs in the world. They have 15 minutes to answer questions about physical health, development, behavior, emotional health, everything, right? And we know that 1 in 3 visits to a primary care clinician is a mental health question because families are not going to clinics for mental health clinics. They're going to their pediatrician. And so whether we have the time or not in primary care, the parents are going to ask the questions. If you think about, I'm worried about my kid, you either go to the teacher or you go to the pediatrician. And so, you know, my job with Nationwide Children's is to work in primary care. I'm an integrated care psychologist, but not everyone gets to have a psychologist in their clinic. And so our goal with On Our Sleeves is to be able to give that primary care clinician a printout that says, oh, you have a question about depression? Like, I can give you some information and here's a strategy that we know helps when kids are feeling this way. And so we want it to be quick because you've got 15 minutes. We want the clinician to feel like I just helped the family, and we want the family to walk out with a strategy and a tool and something that they feel happy with also.
That's great. When I talk to the medical professionals, I try to let them know, hey, it's not always the most important to be doctor of the year or of your department in the magazine that comes out once a year. But wouldn't it be awesome to be a champion for your patients in the mental health field? And to be that champion for children, I would way prefer to have that on my resume or CV that I took an extra minute to make a difference that could change a life.
Absolutely. Nothing breaks down those barriers to equity and health and mental health than taking that minute in that primary care office, right? To listen to the family and give the support.
Yeah. We're going to take our last break. And on the other side of this break, I really want to just briefly talk about maybe ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and the importance of that. And then I want to make sure you have all the time in the world that you want to talk about. How can people get involved? How can people get their resources? I already am starting to think about, hey, if there's anything that I can help either one of you with these new areas, let me know. And you have somebody in your corner in Texas. How can other people get actively involved and roll up their sleeves to help you with On Our Sleeves? So we'll be right back after our last commercial break. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. And as I promised you at the beginning of the show, this is one of the best programs I think we've done, with a lot of information with two awesome people, Marty Post, the executive director of On Our Sleeves, and Dr. Ariana Hoett, both from Columbus, Ohio. And it's just great to have them today. We're in the last segment here. I noticed when I first discovered ACEs and all about ACEs, and if people don't know about ACEs, get on the CDC and type in ACEs and you'll get all the information that you want. In that 10 question little quiz that they recommend everybody take, there's not one question on race. There's not one question on bullying. There's not one question on living on the bad side of town. And that's what I think they're revamping that, because that was a 15, 20 year quiz and research. But they're revamping it. How important is it to have ACEs that include the inclusiveness of all the things that's happening in all the areas of our neighborhood, on that side of town, this side of town, and this side of Houston, which we have, you know, we have, this is a pretty good neighborhood here, but you go three blocks down the road and you have people sleeping on the streets. I mean, just three blocks. How important is it to be inclusive of our children right now, to make sure they get a fair shake too?
It goes back to that question you had earlier about trauma-informed care, right? We have to be aware of how chronic stressors like neighborhood violence, financial concerns, constant racism, discrimination impacts children growing up, their self-image, their physical health because of that constant stress, the obstacles at school. I mean, it impacts every second of their life. So we definitely have to consider it when thinking about mental health and their development.
Yeah. We, in the last, I think, week, we've had an officer killed and three shot just in the last week here in Houston. And there may be even more with police. And the violence seems like it is picking up. And the tension in our world right now is so volatile that, don't you believe, Marty, that everybody has some kind of mental issue right now with COVID, with the political divide that we have, with the racial tension, the police tension, the Black Lives Matter tension, what's happened on the street? I mean, don't we all have some type of issue that maybe we need somebody to talk to?
Well, you're not wrong. There's chronic stress around all of us right now on so many different levels, and our working environment for many people has been highly disrupted as well. Yeah. And I think that's the whole focus of On Our Sleeves, is to help children and families learn proactively what are the skills and techniques you can use as life builds up around you, so that when it gets really overwhelming, as it is even for the adults right now, there are not only skills and techniques you can rely on, but then discernment to know when is it time to look a little further. And for adults, I think we maybe know that about ourselves, but when we think about our children, we have to be the one to make that decision for them. So I think that's an important part of what we're trying to do with On Our Sleeves, is educate the adults to know when is more help needed. And as Dr. Howitt said at the beginning, also to know it's not your fault. You're a huge part of the solution to getting these kids to what they need to feel better and grow beyond whatever they're facing. So go ahead.
No, please don't finish your thought there.
I was just going to say that our hope is to start all of this with younger and younger families and children, so that as life builds up, they have a way to cope.
One thing that I love about even this educator packet, even if you haven't gone to a workshop or a training, and you've always heard meditation helps, breathing helps, but I don't know how to tell my kid, hey, just breathe. Well, the kids over there going, well, I know how to breathe. No. You literally break it down of how to breathe and give those breathing techniques in this book that not only educators can use, but the parents can get just a quick master's degree on anxiety and stress of how to be able to deal with their own children. And the neat thing, when I was reading through this and I promote around the country, is I learned so much in there of just how to take that big breath in and let it out. And you hear about this stuff all the time, but it's nice to be able to have it confirmed with evidence-based information. And I think that's awesome. How can people get their hands on this stuff?
Well, honoursleeves.org has a whole variety of sections to help. So we have a resource section, which will actually let you go state by state and find organizations and groups that you can turn to if you need something close by locally because you need help. We also have lots of guides on there. So thinking about anxiety, articles about ADHD, depression in children, really topically what you could be thinking about. And there are also great ideas on there for things like gratitude, kindness, mindfulness, these proactive skills that help us get to a place of mental well-being. And then there's a whole section on how to get involved. So you can help us in a couple of ways. You can distribute what we, sounds like you're already doing that, Dr. Williams, everywhere you go. Thank you so much. You can distribute our materials. You can contribute to our work through events and fundraising and also helping us by sharing on social media and having these conversations without, you know, shame or embarrassment to talk about mental health in kids. So it's all at onoursleeves.org. And there are so many ways to get involved and be part of this with us. We're excited to hear from folks and have more people join us in this work.
You know, one neat thing about it is I subscribe to the network to get the downloads and things of that order. And you don't send me an email every hour asking for money that some places up north in Dallas does when you want their resource. I get every day, you don't do that. And I appreciate that so much because you just want to get the information out. And that's intentional too. It has to be, right, Doctor?
Yeah, I love that you bring up the e-community because I was going to add to that and I hadn't thought about how someone could think, oh, I don't want to give my email out. But you, if you go to the website and subscribe, you get one email a week and that one email is a resource. So we just sent out how to deal with uncertainty because everything keeps being canceled due to COVID, right? So you will get that one email and it is going to be a resource. It is not going to be bothering you and asking you for anything.
We just have a minute or two left. I want to give each of you the opportunity just to share what you want to share about your work, what you're passionate about. I love that you already shared about what you're looking forward to and goals of the impact that you want to make. But just to give you 35, 45, 55 seconds each, we'll start with Dr. Hoet. What do you want to tell us before we close out today about your work with On Our Sleeves?
I love that On Our Sleeves is really trying, as we discussed, to reach all the adults that can impact a child's life, especially the younger children. Children are resilient. They can go through hard things and be okay. We as adults have to give them those tools to talk about the emotion, to cope with the emotion. And that's what we want to do with On Our Sleeves is give the adults those strategies. And so I love working with On Our Sleeves to give those out for free and reach all kinds of communities.
Fantastic. Marty, last thought.
I do think that this work is one of the biggest privileges of anyone's career to be able to impact something in a positive direction before potentially later problems could develop. And also I would say that working it on our sleeves and the amazing people we work with and the Alliance members we interact with have really shown me more about what's possible and how to grow and how to improve relationships and connections within my family and my own community. And I think that's an amazing benefit we all could enjoy if we could set down our worry about the topic and just dig into it together.
Fantastic. Well, I cannot thank you enough. It has been a true honor to be with you, Dr. Hoet and Marty today, just to share with me and hopefully the entire world, hopefully millions of people are going to be watching this, listening to this, writing down your On Our Sleeves website and getting on there and downloading those resources that I would recommend to each and every person, no matter how professional you are, from the doctor all the way to whatever kind of education, every person can benefit from these resources. And thank you for sharing a part of your day with me today and our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Keep up the good work. And if there's ever anything that I can do for you, let me know. And I'm right there slinging sweat for you, I promise.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with me today and our listeners. As we do every week, every Sunday, I always like to share with you the same thing, no matter what you've gone through in life, no matter what you're going to deal with today, no matter what you're going to face tomorrow, and lean into the computer right now, there's always hope. There's always hope. Hang on to that and never give up. Make sure right now, write down on our sleeves and get on your computer and download and subscribe, because you won't regret it. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And join us next week for another edition live from Houston, Texas, for Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.